What a great song that was. Jesus, to know you, and then to know you more. That's exactly what my sermon is. So thank you. But it's bang on. It's exactly what I want to portray to you this morning. Something to know Jesus, or something else. To know him more. But I heard a story about a pastor who made the following announcement. There will be a special meeting of the board immediately following the service. After the close of the service, the church board gathered at the back of the gym for the announced meeting. But there was a visitor attending church, and the visitor, who had never been there before, went to the meeting. "My friend," said the pastor, "didn't you understand this is the meeting of the board?" "Yes," said the visitor, "and after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just about as bored as anyone else here." Hopefully, you're not bored this morning. But here's a question to kick things off for us today. Are we competitive? Do we have a spirit in our lives that causes us to compete, to win stuff, and to pursue our goals and dreams? Yes, of course we do. Most of the time. Do we ever get down about not reaching our goals, attaining our dreams, and missing the mark in our lives? Yes. I think so. Well, that also happens in our spiritual lives. We sometimes get down in our faith and get lazy with it. Perhaps we didn't achieve those big dreams of saving the world in those early days in our faith. As a result, we can fall into spiritual lethargy. Well, what is spiritual lethargy? Spiritual lethargy is kind of like being a couch potato, but in relation to faith. We all know the couch is so comfortable. And we are familiar with its perfect indents that have molded to our body parts. The couch really is our friend. The couch will never ask you to get off it or ask you to step outside of your comfort zone and sit in the wooden chair while you're watching TV. Nope, not the couch. You can simply sink into your couch, turn on your TV or laptop, and be passively entertained. The hardest thing about this is getting up, actually walking to the kitchen, and getting snacks. And finding the remotes. Couch potatoism is safe. And it's good some of the time. And taking a break spiritually is okay for a time as well. So we can spiritually refuel. Perhaps you just need a spiritual rest. No problem. Do it for a short time. The problem is, when that short time leads to a long time, and then a long time leads to all the time. In a state of spiritual lethargy, you don't really have to put yourself out there or really trust God with anything. You just passively look for the remote, your Bible, and passively read it, if at all. Not really understanding it. And only when you have nothing else to do, and then say, "Check, got my devotions done for today. Yay me." In order to snap out of this idea, and practice of couch potatoism, you should start by asking some tough questions. Some of the questions could be, have you ever wondered about the direction of your life? Have you ever asked yourself if you were on the right path? Are you happy with the choices you have made and are making? Can you say for sure that you are living life as it was meant to be lived? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is God's will for my life? If we really think about it, I'm sure all of us have asked some of these questions at some point in our lives. Or we may be asking them right now. Are we satisfied with the answers? Maybe you are asking, what am I doing with my life? Am I really where God wants me to be spiritually? Can I really make a difference in the world around me? If I can, how? Lots and lots of questions. And these are some good soul-searching questions that we should all be asking ourselves from time to time, especially questions about our own personal ministry. Okay? Well, what is ministry? Now, don't be alarmed by the term ministry. We're just talking about doing the stuff we are doing for God, the stuff that will benefit the church and our communities. It could be prayer, which is a great ministry and a necessary ministry. Great things happen when people pray. Where did all the great revivals in history start from? Yep, prayer. It could be talking about our faith to people at work. Then when the time is right, inviting them to church. Or you could be involved with kids or youth or outreach or seniors, all great ministries. Another great question that a lot of people wrestle with is, how do I know for sure that I am in the center of God's will? Whoa. That's a doozy. How do I know I'm in the center of God's will? The center of God's will. Okay, so where is the center of God's will? The center of God's will is when you're happy doing what you're doing. Now, I don't mean easygoing type of happy, but I mean the deep down, overflowing with joy, happiness that comes from God. The calling that God has placed on your life and true happiness are synonymous. True happiness and fulfilling your calling go hand in hand. They go together like shooby dooby 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 shooby shoop shoop chang chang chang. We go together, the song. That's, I know it's cheesy. But just think about this question for a moment. When have you felt closest to God? Did that bring about true happiness? Yes, it did. Because the happiest place on earth is not Disney World. That's a myth. The happiest place on earth is in the center of God's will. Don't get me wrong. You can still go see Mickey Mouse, be goofy, and have lots and lots of fun. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying ultimate happiness is in the center of God's will. So that brings us back to the question. How do I know for sure what God's will is for my life? The answer, my friend, is not just blowing in the wind. The answer is found in the Word of God. More specifically, in this instance, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will. This is the Word of God speaking to us. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Word of God is saying, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you have studied any kind of logic, you will know that when there is a then in the sentence, the if is implied to create an if-then statement. So the formula for finding God's will in your life is found in this if-then statement. If you, because of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God, because it is your spiritual act of worship, and if you do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world and are transformed by the renewing of your mind, then and only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then. Some of us are into shortcuts, though. We want God's will for our lives. And we know if we are in the center of God's will, everything will be fine. But we want it without offering our bodies as living sacrifices. That just sounds too painful. And we do really want to be in the center of God's will, but not at the expense of having our minds renewed. It took me lots of studying and lots of reading to get the things into my mind that I have in there. The last thing I want to do is have it renewed. It sounds like when you renew it, the other stuff just expires. When you return a library book and you wish to renew it, it's usually because the date is expiring. Or has expired, and you haven't had enough time to finish reading it. And yes, I checked, there are still libraries around. Before your driver's license expires, you have to renew it. When your insurance expires, what do you need to do? You need to renew it. The same is true when anything expires. You need to renew it. Unless it's milk. If that's expired, throw it out, please. But we must be renewing our minds constantly. Now, here's the good news. We can be constantly having our minds renewed. God wants to do a new work in us every day through the renewing of our minds. Yeah, but that just sounds like too much work. much easier to keep our old beliefs and our thoughts about things, because after all, we've always done it that way. The seven last words of a dying church: we have always done it that way. Not here. But if we want to be in the center of God's will, we must be transformed. We must be changed continually by the renewing of our minds. And as a result of this ongoing renewal of our minds, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so I consulted with the commentators about the verses we've been talking about. And it seems before a priest in Israel could minister on behalf of others, he was obliged to present himself in a consecrated condition, and the sacrifices he offered were to be without blemish, which is holy and pleasing to God. This is a reminder of that necessity for the Christian. Not in terms of rite or ritual, but as renouncing the sins of the old life and becoming committed to a life of obedience to the divine will. Renouncing the sins of the old life and become committed to the life of obedience to the divine will. Okay, so hold on now. Why offer our bodies as living sacrifices? Why not just our minds? Because the body has a choice. It is capable of expressing either sin or righteousness. If sin, not good. If righteousness, then it is an offering pleasing to God. Okay, I get it. So let's talk about living sacrifices, because that doesn't sound very good either. Paul uses the word living sacrifices as a way of contrast to the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. When offered, no longer possessed life. It was a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice is a reminder that spiritual life received from God in the new birth is the presupposition of a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. So, Christian sacrifice or living sacrifice is a life of service to God. It is worship to God. There it is. A living sacrifice is a lifelong response to the revelation of God. That's it. A lifelong response to the revelation of God. Whew. You see, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. The great fact of the incarnation basically means that God would actually take a human body upon Himself to live in it and to work through it. True worship is the offering to God of one's body, mind, and spirit, and all that one does every day with it. That is true worship. Body, mind, and spirit. I love the way Eugene Peterson in The Message translates Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, Fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. That's what it does. But God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. The first line says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. This is how I want you to live. That's pretty straightforward. He wants us to take our everyday ordinary life and even explains the ordinary events of our day. The sleeping, eating, going to work, and simply our walking around life. Paul then suggests that we place that before God. We offer it to God. Here you go, God. Here is the everyday stuff of my life. I give it to you. Then he gives us some fairly harsh words. He tells us, guys, Trevor, don't get so well adjusted to the culture around you that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Be careful. It seems we sometimes do that. We get adjusted to the culture around us without even thinking. Be careful. And here's what you need to think about. Think about these things. Think about your relationship to God through Jesus, even in your day-to-day routines. When we fix our attention to God in these areas, the promise is that we will be changed from the inside out. Then we recognize what He wants for us, and we respond. Revelation, response. Revelation, response. God reveals, we respond. God reveals, we respond. Also, recognize the culture around us. What's their focus? Their focus is to drag us down with them. That's why Paul warns us. We need to be counter-cultural. Counter-cultural should be one of our goals as a Christian. We need to be in the culture, but not of it. We become mature in our faith by allowing God to guide us even in our everyday mundane lives. It really is a choice. When we refuse to conform to the pattern of this world, something amazing happens. We become transformed. Not conforming and being transformed are processes which are continual. They're going on all the time. It is a continual renunciation and renewal. Renunciation and renewal. We must pattern ourselves after Jesus. He refused Satan's suggestions in the temptation and accepted the path that led to the cross. As Jesus' mission could be summarized in the affirmation that he had come to do the Father's will. That's also the reason we are here. If we have accepted Christ to do the Father's will, we need to be dedicated to that purpose, because it is dedication that leads to discernment, and discernment leads to delight in God's will. Again, dedication leads to discernment, and discernment leads to delight in God's will. Now, here is the most excellent news for us today, right now. Are you ready? If we wish to know God's will for our lives, we can. The beauty of God's grace is that we can forget about the past, be forgiven from our past, learn from our past, and start a new adventure of embracing God's will today, right now, by just saying, yes, yes, Jesus, I accept your way. We can embrace God's will right now. We can offer our bodies as living sacrifices, totally devoted to God's service. We can stop conforming to the pattern of this world, and we can be transformed by the constant and continual renewal of our mind. Then, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The choice is ours. We can choose to go the way of the world and conform to those patterns. Or we can choose to seek, live, and fulfill God's will for our lives, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you know Christ here this morning, congratulations. I mean that sincerely. Congratulations. The best decision you've ever made in your life. Now continue to grow in His grace and love. Don't be like some people. Some people simply want a get-out-of-jail-free pass. I mean a get-out-of-hell-free pass. If that's what you want, all you have to do is believe in God and you will be saved. Pretty simple. But wait. There's more. When I accepted Christ, I wanted more. I wanted to live my everyday running around life in the presence of Jesus. I wanted to live out my life glorifying Him. I wanted to be a witness to Jesus. I wanted to be in connection with Him on a daily basis. I wanted to brag about Him. I wanted to tell others about His hope. I wanted to tell others about His grace. I wanted to tell others about His peace. I wanted to tell others about His love. I wanted to tell others about His free gift of salvation. I wanted and want to be like Him. Have I always gotten it right? Absolutely. Absolutely no. You see, for me and in my life, I have made mistakes. I've had a few. But then again, you know it's hard to believe I have made mistakes. But I don't want to dwell on those mistakes. I simply want to tell you the result of all those mistakes. The result of all my mistakes is to not just sneak in the back door to heaven or cash in the get out of hell free pass, but I want more. I want to know Him more. I now want to do it Christ's way. The only way. The way, the truth, and the life. Because no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is that way. He is that truth. He is that life. My life purpose as a result is to know Him more so I can show Him more. To know Him more so I can show Him more. This morning, we all have a choice with our lives. We can coast in our faith because we got the get out of hell free pass. or we can go deeper and live on a daily basis to know Him more, to love Him more, to share Him more, to hope in Him more, and to be like Him more and more and more every day. The choice is up to you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word here this morning. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us. And when you do reveal yourself to us, our job is to respond. God, help us to understand that revelation and response. Help us to seek that revelation and response. And help us to find that revelation and response. Help us to become more and more like you as we go through this day, as we go through tomorrow, as we go through the next week, as we go through the next month, and so on and so on. Help us to be closer to you more and more and more every day. God, we give ourselves to you here today. Thank you that you have given us more than that get out of hell free pass. You've given us just abundant life. And when we seek you, it becomes more abundant every day. So God, I want that abundant life. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can be more and more in tune with you and that abundant life. God, thank you. Praise you for who you are. Thank you for accepting me. I want to know you more so I can show you more. In Jesus' name.